Okay, today I'm in Derby with Andy Marget, who describes himself as a compulsive gambler. Thanks for talking to us today, Andy. It's very brave of you to agree to do this. So can you tell people a little bit about your story, please?
Yeah, no problem. My name's Andy Marget. I'm a compulsive gambler. My last bet was 14th of April 2007. Starting off, I loved horse racing. My granddad used to have a bet on the horses. My dad did. Dad still does. And I just like kind of followed it on with the family kind of thing. Once a year on the Grand National, you're 50p each way. He's picking out the good name, the name that was funny, or the colours on the jockey. And it kind of progressed from there. I qualified as a football referee when I was 14. So I had a bit more money in my pocket, more than some of the other kids at school. And I used to have a bit of a bet on the Saturday afternoon. Dad run down a bet for me, having a bit of a round robin or a flag bet, like 5p flag, etc. and stuff like that. And it was good to do. I enjoyed it. Got into racing a bit more. Started going down to my local track now and again in the Uttoxeter. Nice to go down there and watch the actual racing as a spectator sport as well. Got to 16, left school, went to college, met up with some new mates and started playing a bit of cards for money, free card brag. It was about the only time where I was quite happy I was going to lose because I didn't want to carry 5 and 10 and 20 p's around with me, so to speak. But we was aiding and abetting at college. And sometimes it was on a Friday night, if any of our parents were away on holiday, we would pile around, get the cans in, kebabs in, Chinese in, and have a bit of a session on the cards, just playing free card brag. It was a good social thing to do, really enjoyed it. All for like 20, 30 quid each, like, so we wasn't bothered if we won or lost. It was a good social thing. Carried on with my horses as well. Quite happily at a weekend, and then on the big meets like Cheltenham Festival, Derby Week, Royal Ascot, etc. Got to 21, managed to get myself a good job in Derby, a place called Toyota, where we build cars. Met my wife, Becky. We fell in love, obviously. Normal story. Fell in love and we bought a house and got online. Got introduced to playing poker online. I thought, I'm going to have a bit of a crack at this. This is about circa 2005. I started playing poker. Just initially the buy-in, like £10, £20 like to buy into a tournament. Won 20 tournaments online. So I thought, right, pretty good at this. I'm beating quite a lot of people in this, and won like a few four-figure sums playing them. To this day, I never withdrew that money once off the system at all, off online at all. I started gambling a bit more and more. I had the time, money and opportunity to do so. I worked shift work, so my wife was on office hours. So I used to time how long I could gamble properly for to maximise my time to do it. So I'm working out how long I have to be able to function with sleep. So I'd be like going to bed 2-3 in the morning, up at 6 if I was on night shift, get up at like 10 in the morning, and then obviously gamble throughout the day until I was ready to go to work again. Started to borrow money to gamble, even though I was quite well paid. Got out one credit card, maxed that out. Got out another credit card, maxed that out. Got out another credit card, maxed that out. And got out a fourth credit card, maxed that out.
What were you betting on when you were doing this? Was it still poker?
It was mainly poker, yes, but I was still having bets on the horses, but my horse racing was like my baby, so to speak. So I was like not going hard at it at that point. It did spiral out of control, even on the horses as well and everything else. But the poker is like eating up my money quite a lot and my time as well. So I got a loan out, £15,000 loan from the bank. I remember it was a Friday evening, about 4:30, 4:45, before I went to work. As soon as I got that 15 grand hit in the account, I drew a grand out straight away in cash. went straight over to the Coral opposite, and I did a grand on a Fobty in about 45 minutes. Felt nothing, felt numb. Then just went to work. As soon as I got back home, cleared my credit cards, and went again. Maxed all four out again. Get another 15 grand loan. Cleared them again. Maxed them out again, those four credit cards. This is over a period of between 2005, 2006, and early part of 2007. I started to run out of ways to get money. So I lied to my missus. We've got a secured loan on the house, another £15,000. I obviously, my wife needed to be a co-signatory on it, and they needed to talk to her. So obviously I told her it was just for a 5 grand loan, just to get me back on track. But obviously they read out the terms as if it was £15,000. And obviously when you are trying to hide things, like hide bank statements and hide your lie, you lie more and more and more. So obviously I lied and said, look, they're just telling you that's how much I could borrow, but I'm being responsible. I'm only borrowing 5 grand. And obviously she signed away and believed it.
When you were borrowing this money initially, was it to try and dig yourself out of a losing hole, or was it because you just wanted to bet more?
I always thought, yeah, that's it, enough. But it was difficult to stop everything. I just wanted to gamble again. I thought, all right, I've got the opportunity again now. All my credit cards are clean. I've got money in the bank. Why not? And I just started up again. And obviously, I got myself, in a matter of months, bang at it again. That 15 grand secured loan went again. Obviously, the credit cards all cleaned off, but I never shut them. I left that opportunity, and I went back to it again. January 2007, you have those New Year's Eve resolutions. I'm thinking, right, I've got to sort myself out here. I need to stop. And I was running up out of opportunities to sort myself out and pay back debts and stuff. I was hiding mail all over the place. Obviously, I was neglecting what food we had, shopping and stuff and all that. It was all absolute basic stuff because I needed that gambling money. I needed those funds to carry on gambling. I was betting on pure cash tables on poker, £400, £500, £600 a hand. I was just so out of control. Horses, I started going from like having flag and round robin bets to like 20, 30 quid each way on a horse, which is quite a lot for me, really. And even one point, I went 40, 50 pounds, 60 pounds on a horse, and that was never me. Greyhounds, started to hit the greyhounds, hit everything really, just anything where I could like try and win some money. I thought, right, I need to stop all this. And I try and do it through willpower alone, week or two at a time. I was like, yeah, I'm all right here. I'm doing all right. Then what ifs come back. As soon as I got paid, yes, pay all my bits of bobs off, I'm gambling again. Got to the 14th of April 2007, the day of the last bet. I felt pressure on me. I was like, I was absolutely in bits. It was 4:30, 4:45 in the morning. I just lost. I think I went all in on pocket twos. Crazy thing to do. Lost that money and just got raging. And the house that we had a little Victorian terrace, so we had a cellar. I went straight down into that cellar, picked up a hammer, and proceeded to smash my PC up to bits. It was a horrific time. I remember, like, we just had my baby son, my first child. My wife come down, what are you doing? And she was like, I was just like, oh no, the computer's broke. So I even lied about that. Just like a few weeks before that, I was like doing the night feeds, and I got my baby son on my lap doing the feed while I was still gambling. And I was doing that for a reason, so I could gamble. Thinking, yeah, I am being responsible, but I'm not. I was so hooked, I wasn't interested in my son. I was more interested in just laying on the next bet, the next gamble. And that's where I was. So PC smashed up. I've got no access to money, debt spiral out of control, feeling all the weight on the world on my shoulders. Come to another day, 8th of June 2007, Came back home, my wife found one of my hidden statements. What's this? And I just blurted every single thing out. Jaw swinging, my wife. Got a 3-month-old son in the hand, giggling away. Haven't got a clue in the world. Kicks me out for the night. And it's one of my... We talk about barriers a lot. About trying when you're trying to stop gambling. Got a psychological barrier to this day. Still remember it vividly. That 10-15 minute drive back to my mum and dad's. I switched the radio off and all I could hear all the way was the death march ringing around in my head. Thinking, that's where I'm going to end up if I carry on. I was going to be pushing up daisies. So I got back to my mum and dad. Got to my mum and dad's. Proceeded to tell them everything as well. Obviously they were apoplectic, went through the roof at me, which anyone would, any parent would, so to speak, because they care so much about you. They could see I knew who I was rock bottom. Needed to get help, got online, found a Gamblers Anonymous meeting in the Derby the following Tuesday. I was drag kicking and screaming, didn't want to go. Still blaming everybody else but myself. Oh, it was a bad beat at the bookies. It was a bad beat online. Not my fault I did this. I did it by accident. Blaming everybody, everything and everything. Went to that GA meeting thinking, no one's like me. Proceeded to be like a nodding dog, like you see in the back of a car. Hearing everybody's story, thinking, yeah, I've done that. Wow, yeah, I've done that. Crazy, I've done that. And it took me a while. Go to these GA meetings weekly. Working out. This is where I need to be. I had to learn to take responsibility of my life again. And slowly but surely, I was getting there a day at a time. The biggest thing you lose as a compulsive gambler, and when you have slips or whatever, is the trust in you, because so many lies you told me, tell about you. My wife won't walk with me in the street for about 6-7 weeks. She won't hold my hand or anything. She'll be walking in front or behind me. And she lost complete trust, complete respect in me. She had to deal with like all my finances all of a sudden. I had to be treated like a kid, have pocket money for when I wanted to go out and stuff and all that lot. I had no bills to pay or anything. My wife did everything. Went to a debt charity service called Step Change, helped me budget my debts and start living my life again. Slowly but surely, day at a time, life got better. Got it tattooed on my arm. It was hard. It was difficult. It was a long journey. That first year was horrific. It was hard. I had those urges. I wanted to gamble so bad. Boxing Day, 2007. Big betting day. Loved King George meeting and stuff and all that a lot. My wife had gone down south with my son to see family. Left me on my own with £20. Absolutely desperate to gamble, bouncing off the walls and stuff. I had to think of a way to stop myself from gambling because I had the time, the money and the opportunity to do so. So I rang up a Chinese takeaway, ordered 20 quid with the Chinese. It stopped me from gambling that day. I put a £3 on in weight, don't get me wrong, but it's the length you went to not gamble, and it got me through that day. And I always talk about a day at a time. And that's how I still live my life now. I've cracked on with my life. It got easier, it got better. I've been blessed twice more with 2 more kids, another son and a daughter. And life has got better. I'm doing well at work. Springing on to now, I do a vlog about my gambling addiction. Trying to spread strength and hope and positive life that you can lead to pull away from it. And it's amazing to talk and amazing to be so humbled that many people come and message me and talk to me and say thanks, Andy, and be able to actually do bits of work and be involved with it as well. So that's my story. My name's Andy and I'm a compulsive gambler.
Okay, Andy, looking at you, obviously your £20 worth of Chinese wasn't wasn't the way you carried it forward, because you're in good shape there. People watching this are going to be, can't help but be, it's powerful stuff what you've just said, sort of moved by your story. But on the other side of it, there are thousands of people that bet on a regular basis, and most of them, they'll lose because you know, that most people do lose betting, but they don't end up in the sort of predicament that you were in. What do you think made you different from them?
It made me feel numb to the outside world. I think I had quite a high pressure job, what I was doing, and it was my way of relaxing, so to speak. I had no children at the time, I just had my wife, and it enabled me to kill a lot of time. I think I had a lot of, I was like probably bored and probably, like I say, just having a lot of time on my hands and being able to do it at ease. And I was always chasing that next big win. And I just wanted to like win more, so to speak.
Okay, now you said that you started off actually doing quite well. You won several tournaments on the online poker, and that was a game of skill. What suddenly, why, when you're obviously doing something that you had a chance with, why did you suddenly decide to start sticking £1,000 in a fob tee, you know, and not continue with that sort of, any idea why you made that jump from having a chance to having no chance?
Yeah, it was just a way to like probably win quick money. I wanted everything straight away. Wanted that buzz, wanted that feel of gambling, and I had the opportunity to do so. I had that grand in my hand, and I still remember it vividly. I was probably betting £13, £12 on zero, the maximum you could whack on it, £100 spins. And it was just the feeling of getting it, and the rush of like actually doing a £100 bet each time. And it felt amazing in one way, but bad in the other. You talk about gambling, you have a high as a kite or low down here, so to speak. And it kind of like felt that experience in both times and stuff and all that. And it was just the ease for me and the buzz for me to do it. I could switch off and I had the time to do it.
So when do you think a punter in his heart of hearts knows when he's made that step from being just a bad punter to being a punter that's got problems?
I think the only time when you realise you're really in the despair of help and stuff and all that lot is when you are at that rock bottom situation. I think when you realise it's taking over more of your time, for me, I don't talk about the money side of things quite a lot about it. I talk about time, and if it's stopping you from like picking the kids up from school, it's starting to like take over your work life. Especially like if you've got like on an 8-hour shift and you're constantly checking your phone for bets and stuff and all that lot. As soon as it hits break, you can't wait to have a look at your bet and see if it's done well or it's not done so. It's starting to like that compulsion starts taking over your life. You're doing your day-to-day things, your daily things. That's when it starts to become a problem for me personally.
Now, you mentioned that you kept getting loans to pay off debts on credit cards.
Yeah.
Now, would that be being able to put bet, you know, use a credit card to actually have bets, would that be something that contributed to your initial sort of problems, do you think?
Yeah, obviously, because it's not your money, and you know it's not your money, but you pretend it is, so to speak. And obviously, when you're doing it online, you're doing all those gambling transactions, and it don't feel like physical cash anyway. And I just wanted to see the numbers in the bottom right hand screen where I had my credit and how much my account was on there, and it made it. I can just like right, I can access my funds dead easy. And when it got to a stage where I could just save my credit card details on there as well, made it even easier as well. And yeah, that's probably when initially like I'm like, I'm maxing out 4 credit cards. I maxed out 1. You think, right, then 2, then 3, then 4. Then that should be at the stage where I'm thinking, right, I've got a bit of a problem here. I need to dig myself out of the hole. And I thought by trying to win more money would be better to do so instead of like coming clean and trying to stop.
Now, talking about traditional bookmakers, first of all, taking bets on horses and greyhounds, etc.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think that your bookmaker could or should have done to notice that you were becoming a problem to yourself?
I think for me, it's the time element again. If you're spending like every day in that bookmakers in the afternoon, say doing 6-7 hours from what 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. and you're there constantly betting on every single thing, even like the car. I mean, it was cartoon racing was just coming in when I was like at the pits of it, and I remember gambling on cartoons and stuff and all that lot. I think focusing on how much time they're spending in the bookmakers all day and realising, do you really need to go home? Do you really need to be here all this time and stuff and all that lot? I would focus on how much time they're spending away, probably from family, from friends, because you get to know your punters in the bookmakers as well, especially if you're going in daily. And you could probably see how they are affected and how they are looking as well, so to speak. It's difficult to spot a problem someone who has got a problem with gambling, because obviously with the effect with drugs and alcohol, you can see like the actual side effects of that, whereas gambling, they call it the silent addiction. So it is difficult, but I'd focus more on time than the actual amount they probably are gambling.
Okay, and if you're looking at it as a hard-nosed bookmaker,
yeah,
you've just described that you used to go in there for 4 or 5 hours and bet on the cartoon racing.
Yeah.
If I was a bookie, I'd be sending a taxi rent for you and I'll pay for it. I know that people are going to say that's awful, but bookmakers are there to try and make money.
Yeah, I understand.
So, you know, should there have been a point where the bookie said, I'm not taking any more bets from you, Andy, because you know damn well that the bet you were trying to place would have won. It's odds law would say it probably would. I mean, should the bookmaker be that concerned about individual punters that they should actually exclude you because you're a bad punter?
It's difficult for me. I mean, it would be nice it being a bit of a two-way thing, but it is down to me as an individual to know when to stop, and I take full responsibility of what I've done and full responsibility of my actions. I had to learn to do that. It was me. No one made me place a bet. No machine, no bookmaker, no fruit machine, no online site made me place a bet. End of the day, it was me who made that bet, and it's me who's paying the price for it and paid the price for it.
Okay, now you're probably in the minority of people that have suffered as you have with that opinion. Most people, you know, scream the place down saying it is all the bookmaker's fault. So what would you, looking at it from a broad thing, what would you like bookmakers to do? I know it's difficult when it's different between online and a guy in his that owns a betting shop or a firm that owns a betting shop. What would you like to see in the ideal world? Should there be alarm signals that they should be looking out for? And what would you like to see happen?
Initially, obviously, there is talk of probably a levy on the industry and stuff and all like that. And I think any like kind of funds that have probably contributed to that go to like treatments and stuff, like for like more national gambling clinics and stuff like that, because there's only two in the country. Obviously, they do have their systems in place online. It's hard. It's really hard. What I would say is probably much better signposting where to get help as well. It's probably more difficult on a high street than it is online to probably pinpoint someone who's probably got a problem with gambling. For me as well, probably funded into better education of gambling as well, because I'm quite passionate about that. And we talk about, you know, especially in schools and colleges and universities, we talk about the dangers of STIs, alcohol, smoking, drugs in schools and colleges. Nothing about gambling and what potential harms that can cause from maybe gambling too much or having too much time to do so. That would probably be a great benefit, because once you're away at 18, you can gamble all that you want, or 16 even on the national lottery. So yeah, I'd go along the education side of things mainly. Industry, need to talk to, I know that I'm probably in the minority, I'm quite wide open with stuff. Pick my brains. I want you to see more of me to be less of me, so to speak, if you can relate to that. I'd I don't want to see people suffering harm. Don't want to see people struggling. And I'm pretty sure the gambling industry as a whole don't want that as well. And if we can have like more dialogue, more open forums, more visits, talking to each other, and hopefully, I mean, even, I know it sounds quite outside the box, having people within like responsible gambling, obviously, because there's a lot of responsible gambling strategies happening now. Obviously, after like the property decision and stuff and all that, like, the gambling companies want to look more responsible. Talk to us more. Talk to the people who have suffered the harm, who have suffered the lived-in experience. Meet these people. And then maybe we can have dialogue and talk to each other and have a way forward, have a plan of action. Maybe have the industry actually come together and having like an overreaching kind of like guideline or set something set in stone where they can look and share the information possibly on what someone could be a potential problem gambler.
So outside the industry, if yeah. you're an alcoholic or you're a smoker or you're a drug addict, you can go to your GP,
yeah.
you can go to rehab, you can get patches, you know, is there, so if somebody watching this is in a desperate state that you found yourself in when you were rock bottom, is there a medical, is there, can the NHS or somebody help you, or have you got to go to self-help groups like you did?
Yeah, I mean, you can go to NHS and they can like do CBT therapy, cognitive behavioural therapy, send you on like 6 one-hour appointments. There is also like, there's two national problem gambling clinics as well. There's one down south somewhere, I can't quite remember, I think it's London based. And there is one more as well, which is opening up in Leeds next year. There's not a lot on there. What I'd strongly believe in is, I think if it started to be made a public health issue, I think we can get a massive step forward along the line to help with treatments for addicts. Obviously, I went to self-help groups, I go to Gamblers Anonymous. It saved my life for me. But there is GamCare as well. And also the other bits as well, like Break Even and Bet No More, so to speak, who do like a little treatment services. And there's also Gordon Moody, which is like a rehabilitation and like a, where you go away on residential 14 weeks and kind of detox as well, so to speak. But there could be so much more, could be so much more. And hopefully, if it was made a public health issue, that there will be more there.
Do you think financial institutions like banks, etc., should also be a bit more responsible? I mean, they must have seen, your credit card companies must have seen deposits going into gambling over and over and over again. Yeah. Was there never any flag up from there?
I mean, no, not all. We are going back a bit, 2005, 2006, and we're talking like where money was easy to lend, so to speak. But I do know now that there is a talk of people like maybe able to block gambling transactions, because I know full well the technology's there. And there's like a couple of startup banks, Monzo and Starling, who actually can make you block gambling transactions. I know Barclays have recently come out with one as well, where you can toggle it off. But what I would say is you need a cooling off period, especially if you've got them urges to do so. And I know Monzo, if someone wants to switch back on their gambling transactions, they'll actually talk to you on the phone. Are you sure you really want to do this? Because they offer calling off period and stuff and all that lot. So yeah, I do think they probably could be a bit more responsible, but it's a two-way thing. Yet again, obviously, it's down to the gambler, down to the person, down to the individual.
Okay, Andy, I was interested that you said that, you know, you were bouncing off the walls at one point wanting to have a bet. Now, years ago I was a smoker, and I know how difficult it is to give up smoking. You've got that craving that can only be satisfied if you have a cigarette. Is it similar for a gambling addict?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, it was. Everyone's different in their recoveries and how they stop and what they do and what they're trying to achieve. Like I say, that urge is there, it can be there. I've talked about a bit where I had the Chinese and stuff and all that lot, but it made me stop gambling. I mean, I've heard stories of one guy who said he had a problem with football betting, and about 4 or 5 weeks into his recovery, and he told this story. He was desperate to have a bet on the football, and it was Saturday afternoon, And it got to about half two, quarter three, and he couldn't take it anymore. So he decides to go out in his back garden, dig a hole. Just dig a hole for 2 hours. And now I know what he's been doing since. He's actually got like growing vegetables in his garden and stuff and all that. Like, so I know it sounds daft and stuff, but it's normal to us. We want to be normal. I want to be boring. I really want to be boring. I'm either high as a kite or low down here. I just want to boring, pay my bills, and do all the normal stuff that we do. Take the kids to school, bring them back, go and do me 8 hours at work, and so to speak, and stuff like that. In those early days, them urges are there, and you're like, oh, I really want to get there, I really want to do this, I want to go do that. So it's imperative you get those blocks in place and putting them barriers in place. I was treated like a kid. I had to be treated like a kid. I had pocket money, like a couple of quid a day, so I can spend for my dinner and things like that. But it helped me to stop gambling. It helped me to be more responsible. Helped me to try and lead a normal life as possible whilst having, in the midst of this addiction, trying to stop. And it helped me with all those silly little call them silly little barriers, but they were perfect for me. And those little behaviours I had, it taught me to be more honest. Taught me not to lie. And it changed me as a person as well, because I was quite a confrontational person. Not like violently, but as in, I was like, if someone told me the grass is green, I'll tell them it was effing blue. I was like that. And it taught me to like not shoot first. It taught me to stop shooting first and ask questions later. It taught me to breathe and do the second thing that come into my head, so to speak. That's where I am with probably the urges and stuff really now. I mean, nowadays, I'm 99% certain I'll never gamble again. I've just got to keep that 1% in check.
You said you smashed your laptop up.
Yeah.
Now, your mobile phone's got to be a lot more dangerous than that laptop ever was. Have you got to that stage where you can...
Yeah, I'm at that stage where I'm okay with my phone and stuff and all that. Like, the biggest barrier I've got is we've got a joint bank account, and... I know full well if I gambled again, she'd see it, and I wouldn't want to cover it up. I'd tell her the truth, so to speak. But at the start, there's loads of blocks in place that you could have, especially on the phones. There is Gamblock, there's Gamstop, which is most bookmakers in the online industry are signed up to. There's also Gamban app as well, which is predominantly for phones, iPads and things and all that lot. They are fantastic tools to actually block all sites and everything onto your system. There's also selfexclusion.co.uk as well, which helps you centrally exclude from bookmakers as well. But it is a two-way thing. You have to do it for you. There's no one out, as much as you gamble, no one made you gamble. No one can make you stop but yourself. It is down to the individual, and you can do it. It is such a hard, long journey, but you can get there.
Now, somebody's watching this, they probably know deep down that they have got a problem, or they are on the verge of that slippery slope. Now, you are a success story. You've come out the other end happy. There must be a lot worse outcomes out there.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about gambling addiction. It's the highest rate of suicides in males under 35 is gambling, due to gambling addiction and gambling problems. There is some absolutely horrific stories you need to Google and YouTube, and there is some people who do talk about it openly who have lost their loved ones. There's a Gamble With Lives who, unfortunately, that couple, Liz and Charles, lost their son, and it's a horrific story, and I applaud them for like trying to raise awareness and trying to raise certain campaigns of what they want to do and stuff, basically. But I mean I've been in rooms where people are on the verge or on rock bottom, and they have attempted suicide, and it can affect absolutely anyone. I've sat in GA rooms with a person who hasn't got a pot to piss in on one side, and a multimillionaire on the other side of me. It all affects the same person. The money's relative. It's how you feel. And if you're feeling that low to take your life, it's not about that money at the end of the day, it's about that compulsion to gamble, and it is difficult. But as I say with my story, and there's many other thousands of stories out there what you can read about and talk about, and there is help, there is hope. You can get there one day at a time. Don't set yourself any targets, because that's a shortcut to gambling again. But if you're feeling at that pit midst of rock bottom, trust me, I've been there. I know where you've been. I've been there. And I know how hard and how horrible it is. I've been in there where I'm thinking, there's no way out. I can't do this anymore. There's no way, I can't stop. I would laughed so much at you if someone told me at a GA room when I first went in that I'd be now be over 11 and a half years gamble free. Laughed at you. But
yeah. Right, there's one thing that people got, you know, watching this, and people are going to say bookmaking and gambling is a legal business and a legal pastime in the UK, the same as pubs are, and the same as it is to sell tobacco, even yeah. though, you know, it's been restricted and stuff. At what point do you think the bookmakers should stop feeling guilty? And that how restricted do you, in fact, do you think bookmakers should be banned altogether? I mean, the misery they're causing people, is the bookmaking industry something that should be outlawed? Or where is the point that they should stop beating themselves up about, you know, truthfully terrible stories like yourselves and other people's, but is there a point where they do not have responsibility?
As I say, I'm personally responsible for my own actions as the individual, and that's how you're going to have to stop. You have to come to terms with that. Industry, waste of time banning it and stuff. There's millions and millions of people who gamble for fun within their own means, within their limits. My dad still gambles and he's absolutely fine with it. It's me who has the problem. It's me who has to deal with that. Me who has to stop. Me who has to fight for my recovery. Industry could do more, as I've mentioned previously, but it is a two-way thing. You can't be anti this, anti that. We've got to be pro trying to help, and pro be responsible. And the industry could probably be a bit more proactive, which I've seen in the news lately with regards to TV advertisements and things like that, which is a good thing. And it is positive steps. There is more needed to be done, but got to be respectful of it. The industry are there to make money at the end of the day. It is a business, and yeah, it's a profitable business. And we've got to know the risks as gamblers that you can lose money.
Now, you spend a lot of your time these days helping other people. You're becoming quite well known on sort of, you've been on TV a few times and radio shows, etc. What really do you think was the most helpful to you on your road to recovery? And is helping others now also therapeutic to you?
Yeah, obviously I do my vlog, and a live vlog quite a lot, and do quite a few pre-records as well. And obviously I'm quite wide open with it on the Twitter and social media. It helps me as well when people come to me with how they're feeling and stuff and all that. Like, even people, it helps me just as much someone who's probably 1 week off being somebody else who's 25 years off gambling. I'm still learning, I'm still listening about my addiction. There's loads of stuff to talk about. I can safely say in the 2.5 years since I started a vlog, I've had over 600 people message me for help or just to talk to, just to chat. It is quite tip of the iceberg kind of stuff, and a majority of them are males under the age of 21 as well. And it's heartbreaking to see people struggling, because it reminds me of how far I've come in a way. I have to be selfish. I have to look after my recovery first. But it is quite helpful to listen to others, how they're speaking and how they are and where they've been and where they're going on their journey as well. And it helps me quite greatly now, talking to as many people as possible, so I could keep listening, I could keep learning.
Do the industry ask for your opinion? The Gambling Commission, are you involved with any of their studies or their input?
Yes, I've done a bit of stuff with their surveys and things like that. I actually have met Tim Miller as well privately, and had a good discussion with him for a good hour and a half at the offices in Birmingham. I get around the conferences a bit, like Gamble Aware, and stuff and like that, and I have done bits of education work as well with the likes of YGAM and Epic, but I've met some CEOs of certain online gambling companies as well privately and in like conference places and stuff as well, and they do try and pick, they want to pick your brains, and I do feel there has been a big sea change, and I think it'll be even more so next 12 to 24 months. People, the gambling industry, want to talk to more of the likes of me with lived in experience, and I'm more than happy to share how I think and what they think they do and what they want to do and where they want to move on in a positive nature.
So do you think the bookmaking industry actually do care now, or, you know, as opposed to the cynics that might think it's just a PR exercise, you know, show a bit of lip service?
Yeah, I think you're always going to get that. I think, but that's it with any industry, so to speak, with being alcohol or whatnot or anything like that. I think they're split into two camps. Ones who are really there, they're really on the edge of it, doing stuff and trying to really get to grips with it. And then you've got another camp who are, yeah, want to do something, really want to do something, but haven't got a clue about what to do and how to do it and how to achieve it. And hopefully, like I say, this people like me will happily talk to them and probably try and guide them somewhere where they want to, where they need to be and where they want to be, and trying to prevent the harm that gambling can cause.
You say you do vlogs. Where can people watch your vlogs?
My vlog, if you just YouTube a name, Andy Margett, or if you, my Twitter as well is @BaronMad79. You'll find me on there quite a lot as well. I'm wide open. Feel free to ask me any questions. I will do so. I'm fair game for any points I make and what my beliefs are and stuff. And if you are struggling or if you want to talk privately, feel free to DM me as well. I know people like to be anonymous and stuff and all that lot. I'll always reply as long as you want to talk.
Okay, you've preempted my final question there pretty well. But somebody's watching this now. They are in bits. They've got to the point where you were. They've recognised the signs. What would your immediate advice for immediate action to them be?
Yeah, obviously I can't tell people what to do, but what I did. Best thing I ever did was tell my partner, tell family, tell someone you're struggling, open up and talk. I can't guarantee reactions or anything like that, but you'll feel so much better to have it off your chest, and that's your first step on the road to recovery. Then possibly go to Gamblers Anonymous, get to the meetings, be around people who feel the same as you have done. Try GamCare, one-to-one little meetings there, what they do. Talk to as many people as possible. Be open and honest about yourself. Be anonymous if you like, but keep talking. Keep talking. And that'll be the best thing you can do.
Brilliant advice, Andy Margett. Thank you very much.
Thank you.